Good morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Monmouth County. My name is Stacy, and I'm on the Board of Governance. Whoever you are, whomever you love, however you arrived at this beloved place, you are welcome here. Our mission is to create community, transform ourselves, and transform the world. If you are new here today, please fill out a visitor card available in the lobby to learn more about us. News of this week's events can be found in our weekly e-blast. For those of you who need to be in a quiet place but want to hear the service, you are welcome to go to the East Room, which is out the door and to the right. In addition, you're here on a very special day. We ask that all of you participate in a UUCMC community activity as part of our celebration of 60 years and growing. After service, we'll have a reception in our community room. On the community room tables and scattered about are green paper leaves with double-sided tape on one side. Please use the markers provided to write why UUCMC is a part of your life on a leaf. We then ask that you attach your leaf to the bare branches of our beautiful tree graphic on display in the community room. By the end of the celebration, the tree will be green and growing, bursting with words of hope and inspiration. We will leave this tree of UU values and member sentiments in our lobby for a few weeks for viewing and for more posting for those who may not be here today. Please join us in the community room for a great party after this morning's service. Now, before our service begins, please turn to those sitting near you and welcome one another to this beloved community. Got it? Will you do this part? Today's Share the Plate is Citizens Climate Education, which is the educational nonprofit arm of the Citizens Climate Lobby. A CCL group was started here several years ago by Lynn Dash and meets here on the first Saturday of each month, attended by many members of UUCMC as well as others from the larger community. The CCEC educates a growing network of volunteers about climate change and how we can help advocate for a livable world. Now, please turn off your cell phone as we enter into this time of reflection and celebration. Welcome again to this place of love and hope.
Good morning. You know, it was on a morning just like this, 60 years ago, when a few people decided that they belonged to one another. They dared to dream and to affirm a new vision of hope in religious community. They had their struggles, but they persisted. There were times when they had blind spots or too short a vision of what was possible. But together, they called each other out and forward, and they persisted. Year after year, we knit a community, not by shared belief, but by the promise of love and justice. Together, we affirm a deeper hope, a truer unity, and a transcending beauty. Today we look back with wonder at all the life and love this house has contained. Today we look forward with hope because they did too. Today, on this 60th anniversary of this beloved congregation, we pledge to persist in the struggle and the joy of this beloved and ever-growing community. I'd like to invite up now our founding members, Lee and Nancy Rosbeck, to light our chalice. Light this chalice, symbol of hope and promise, because we are never alone in our quest to realize a faith and lives made whole and holy. Lighting this chalice, as so many have done before us and will do long after us, gives us hope and the strength to continue. Once again, thank you, Lee and Nancy, for all you've done to create and sustain this congregation.
I am excited today because today we begin filling our time capsule. I'd like to invite the kids up for our story, and I'd like to ask that if you have anything that you're going to include in the time capsule, that you hold on to it. Gotcha. That you hold on to it until we're ready and just have a seat for right now. It is a day to celebrate. Oh. All right, so today, friends, we are packing up. Today is the day that we load our capsule and that we send our messages to the future. Our capsule will include a collection of letters and photos and items for 2032 UUCMC. When we launched this time capsule project on Jubilee Sunday, in coordination with our 60th anniversary celebration, we used a temporary time capsule to hold the space. And it was decorated with beautiful butterflies, which symbolizes transformation, an image about how we as a community can create community, can transform ourselves, and transform the world. On that day, we also, in our makeshift time capsule, brought up our pledges for our annual giving campaign. I can assure you that none of those pledges will be included in our time capsule today. We'll carry those all this year as we put our mission statement forward into action, so that we can be fully equipped. Now, I'd like to share with you, Tom Harbison couldn't be here today. He is our stewardship committee chair. But he has left with me a brochure for our annual giving campaign, our jubilee and celebration of our 60th anniversary, and also $5. And a note, we are passing this $5 donation forward to UUCMC of 2032, which we trust will put to good use in the service of UUCMC's transformational mission. We also include this brochure so that you can see how we were raising funds to support and make possible the work of our community. And so I add that first to our capsule. Now, over the last month, I've heard from many of you about how hard this project was. In the midst of turmoil in our country, our U.S. government not representing our UU values, our crisis over hiring practices at the Unitarian Universalist Association. Many of you have said, I'm not sure what I want to tell the future. Our youth and kids say that they will, without a doubt, be here in 15 years to open that time capsule. And others have said that they hope to be here. And others know that they are leaving a legacy today. On Friday night, our youth groups, they were thinking hard about what they wished to include. Most of them will be between the ages of 27 and 33 when the time capsule is opened. Our junior youth group, they wrote messages to their future selves, which gave me a little laugh when I came in yesterday and saw them. But one of them stood out to me. I'd share them all if I could. Thanks to all my friends and all the people at UUCMC who helped me grow over the years and learn about the person that I am, learning about myself. I love JYG. Our senior youth group is going to be making a video interview to capture what UUCMC means to them now and their hopes for youth who come after them. More than one of them said that they met their best friends here. And they thought about how they could possibly include some of their fashion sense. I let them know that I think that the video can really capture that and that we can leave Austin's shoes here in 2017. This program year, the Adult Religious Education Committee decided in an effort to get rid of Columbus Day to offer programming for Indigenous Peoples Day. They will include a book, 1491, and a note that it is their belief and hope that in 15 years, there will be no more Columbus Day, and instead, we will celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. Our RE classes are finishing up their community poem, where they will each contribute a few lines about what they learned in RE, what they liked most, and we will weave it into a reading to be read in a future worship this year and in 15 years. Our capsule is a reflection of our strong commitment to learning for all ages and to our dedication and love for our children and youth. Our music committee is placing an 8x10 photo of the choir and chamber orchestra taken last spring at their annual Music Sunday, and a sheet of music for Wanting Memories, a piece that they're currently working on. Our program committee, well, they hope that they're out of business in 2032. They hope that their program is extinct because they believe we will have two sitting ministers and that their committee will have been outgrown. That the passage of time has led to a larger congregation and that your services every Sunday continue to grow and carry a spiritual message. And now many of you wrote personal letters as your opportunity to share your vision, to offer up the mistakes that we have made so that we don't make them again, and that we leave a celebration of successes, a legacy, and a dream. And so today we plant seeds, giving 2032 something bold and beautiful to discover. And so now, what I'd like to do, we've got some instructions here. So I would like you all, the kids, yes, I will fix this because it's very precious. What I'd like you all to do is if you have a contribution to the capsule, in a minute, we're going to start playing some music, and people are going to come forward, and you're going to bring your contributions forward. Always usually helpful to come up the side aisles, place your item in, and return at the center. Just good for traffic flow. What I want you all to do is that if you have something, when the music starts, you can come around, and you can put it in our time capsule, and then have a seat back on the stairs, because we'll release you to RE after everybody's come up. Does that make sense? Does that make sense for all of you? All right, let's get this going. You guys first, bring up your car.
If they wanted to share a little bit, like too much time.
Yeah, we don't have enough time. So there is so much to say. I know you all are wondering about some of the contributions, and I will tell you that in true UU fashion, many of you are on UU time and still need more time to put in offerings to our time capsule. I made a little joke the other day at our Mystery Friends presentation that all of the new members who participated were there promptly at 5 o'clock. And then our longer time members came in at the unofficial 5:15. So we'll see what happens. But we are going to extend the time for sealing our capsule. Our goods, everything needs to be in by our June congregational meeting, where we will seal it, and it will not be opened again for 50 years. So you still have time to write letters. You still have time to put in your group contributions. I know a lot of people want to hear from the kids about what they included, and I'm going to take the opportunity over the next couple of months to share with you some of the things that we're putting in through the newsletter and the e-blast, and maybe a little bit during the wisdom story. This congregation has a long history of being awesome. And looking out here today, I predict that this congregation will still be so awesome in 60 years from now. I want to leave you with this letter that one of our fourth grade youth wrote. Dear future UUCMC, I hope many things will change by 2032. I hope that hate will no longer be around and love will fill the earth. I also hope that in 15 years, our congregation will grow and be very big. I also hope that we don't forget our saying, we are Unitarian Universalist, the congregation of open minds, helping hands, and loving hearts. I picture the 2032 classes with more loved love-filled rooms, and lots more money. I wish for kindness, caring, and respectfulness, and to be everywhere blocking the bad from entering. I really do hope that things will change by 2032, and that love and peace will fill the air. Love, Dante. And so now you all will go off to your RE classes and you'll write some lines for our community poem. Thank you all for being with us. I'm going to take you up on what you said, that you will be here in 15 years to open that capsule. Go now in peace.
Oh, I thought I was going to be introduced, so I'll have to introduce myself. Good morning. And I'm Lee Rosbach, and it was previously announced. Nancy and I happened to be lucky enough to be here when this place started. I can't take a lot of credit for it. But here we are, and we're still here. And happy to be here with you all. And thank you so much for the reception you gave us before. I really appreciate it. Anyway, I thought I should explain how Nancy and I became founders of the UUCMC. We were both of Jewish descent, but neither of our families went to a temple or practiced any traditions of Judaism whatsoever. As I grew older, I became very confused as to what I should be doing about religion. It turned out that my roommate at Yale was a Unitarian, and when he explained the denomination to me, it seemed that it was just what I needed. Without knowing much about it, it seemed to me that Judaism was limited only to the Old Testament. Christianity was limited to both Testaments of the Bible, but Unitarianism was unlimited, and it could include the teachings of not only the Jewish and Christian prophets, but any great teacher that might come along, such as, for instance, Mahatma Gandhi or Albert Schweitzer. This was an oversimplification, but at that point, I considered myself a Unitarian. When Nancy and I became engaged, she was happy to accept my suggestion that we be married by a Unitarian minister, and we chose the Reverend Lawrence O'Neill of the All Souls Church in New York. And that was in 1948. By 1956, we had three young children, and we were wondering what we should do about some sort of religious education. One spring day, we got a surprise. We noticed a very small article appearing in the Asbury Park Press stating, quote, "A group of Shore residents planning the establishment of a Unitarian fellowship for Monmouth County will meet Sunday at 8 p.m. in the Old Mill, Tinton Falls. Shore residents interested in establishing a Unitarian church in the county are invited. At present, the nearest Unitarian church is at Princeton." About a dozen couples, including ourselves, attended the meeting, and we did agree to go forward. Things were slow to get started. We started at the Old Mill and used a series of temporary quarters and a few temporary guest ministers. We tried to emphasize religious education, because we were all young couples with children. Almost all of us volunteered to teach at some point, and we had very little experience. And we timed our subject matter from a lady in Boston Unitarian headquarters named Sophia Foz. I don't know if she's still going. I particularly remember that the children learned to sing "This Little Light of Mine." And I also remember putting on a Christmas pageant because our oldest son, Doug, age 6, literally brought down the house when he leaned against the cardboard stage setting and it collapsed. And I'm happy to say our son Doug, who is now 66, is sitting with us this morning. Around 1960, I served a term on the Board of Governors, and I have a very distinct memory of a meeting which illustrates the type of people we were in those days. One order of business was the necessity to replace our vacuum cleaner, which had died. The discussion went on for eternity. Could we buy a second-hand one? Could we ask to see if a member had an extra one, maybe to donate? There was no possible way we could repair the old one. So I think we eventually elected a committee to buy the to buy the least expensive one possible. Anyway, the next order of business was a report that a nearby black church had been damaged by vandals. In what seemed like a split second to me, we had passed a motion to donate a rather large sum to assist in the repair. And I do believe that the same sort of result would occur if those situations occurred today. I do not want to dwell on history other than to mention we called our first minister, Harold Dean, in 1962 and applied to the UUOA for church status. And we dedicated our own building here in Lindcroft in 1965. In the 1970s, Nancy studied for and was awarded her certificate as a director of religious education by the UUA. And she became the first professional DRE of our congregation. By that time, she says that the church school had soared to 200 students. Anyway, after a few years, our children had had a religious education, and Nancy and I were both becoming more occupied with outside activities, such as tennis and fishing on weekends. So Nancy resigned as DRE, and we maintained our affiliation with the congregation, but did not actually attend for almost not 25 years. Then in 1996, we got a surprise telephone call from Roshan Shada, inviting us to the 40th anniversary. This great event was a new start for us. And since then, UUCMC has become a keystone in our lives. We live too far away to drive to too many events, but we do attend many services here, and we've joined a covenant group. Thank you very much.
My name is Joan Farkas, and I have the honor of being the interim president to the Board of Governance today. I was asked to speak a little bit about my thoughts on this place, and what I figured I would do is share with you the letter that I placed in the time capsule from our current Board of Governance to the future congregation. So bear with me, I'm going to basically read it because I don't have it memorized, and in true UU fashion, I wrote it on Thursday or Friday for today. So it says, "Dear future leaders and members of UUCMC, I'm sitting here on a gloomy day in April of 2017 preparing for our 60th anniversary celebration and gathering items from our current Board of Governance to place in a time capsule Sunday morning. The weather is gray and chilly, and the U.S. launched over 50 Tomahawk missiles at Syria last night, so the gloom is both literal and emotional. To say that these are challenging times is an understatement, but even in the face of these challenges, the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Monmouth County moves forward in a spirit of hope, renewal, and community that offers inspiration, comfort, and love. This past year, we faced internal conflicts, which resulted in the resignation of our board president and my assuming the role of interim president. The elections in November of 2016 resulted in an outcome that few had anticipated and many in our community feared and continue to feel threatened by. Our beautiful building is aging and will soon need repairs and replacements that are beyond our standard operating budget amounts. And even the Unitarian Universalist Association itself is facing internal chaos due to unfair hiring practices that have resulted in accusations of white supremacy and in the UUA presidents and key staff members' resignations. These are indeed confusing times. I have great hope and belief in this congregation and this community, and am proud to serve on its leadership team because, in spite of everything challenging, both now and in our history, we've risen to the occasion and brought forward positive changes and actions. Here are a few of the community responses to our challenges and some symbols and documents of that work. In response to UUCMC's president's resignation, individuals stepped up and took on the vacant roles on the board, and the membership gathered to begin the process of writing a congregational covenant to define how we will be together in community. The latest draft is in this time capsule, but if we don't seal it till June, hopefully we will have the final version that we will vote on at the June meeting to place in the time capsule. In response to what some view as a hostile political atmosphere, we as a congregation unanimously voted to sign on to the UUA-UUSC Statement of Conscience, which is also included in the envelope I placed in the time capsule. We are committed to turning our values into action and actively seek to oppose any policy or law that is in violation of the UU principles. Individual members of our community organized bus transportation to both the Women's March on Washington in January and the People's Climate March in Washington later this month. Our Racial Justice Task Force has organized a Black Lives Matter rally, a panel on the inequities in the justice system for people of color, and a workshop to allow us to walk in the shoes of an individual experiencing the social services system. Symbols of these endeavors, including a pink pussy hat, buttons, and postcards, were also included in the envelope for the time capsule. In response to the needs of our buildings and programs, we've begun a renovation project in the Edgewood House to create designated religious education and meeting space, and those plans are also included in the time capsule. Generous members held fundraisers and made donations to replace our earth room lighting with a new LED system. We've also begun the exploratory process to launch a full capital campaign in the near future, and hopefully you're enjoying some of the results of that effort. And finally, as part of the response to the recent UUA challenges, we're participating in a UUA white supremacy teach-in as part of a nationwide effort to learn more about institutional racism and how we can help to be agents for change in these structural inequities. As you would expect, challenges stir action in this community, as they have throughout the 60 years of our present existence, and no doubt continue to do as you read this letter. In closing, we're torn in our wishes for you. You see, we, of course, wish you peace, success, community, and a successful stewardship campaign. But it is obvious in reviewing our present and past that this is a community that uses challenge to promote harmony, transformation, and growth. We also wish you all those things, so perhaps a little chaos in your midst would be a good thing to wish for you as well. Much love to you all. UUCMC's Board of Governance, April 2017, Joan Farkas, Interim President, Alicia Malave-Diaz, Senior VP, Jan Boyarin, Secretary, Janet Freed, VP of Staff Resources, Judy Stevens, Council Moderator, Stephen Vitale, VP at Large, Stephen Albertus, VP at Large, Stacey Bates, VP at Large, and Tom Smith, Treasurer. Thank you.
I'm Liz Tortorella. Having been a member of this congregation since 1985, there are many memories I could share with you today, some very serious and some lighthearted. The experience I've chosen to describe is a snapshot moment that had a real impact on me. It occurred when I was teaching a religious education class down the hall in 1990. As I recall, the students in that class were about 8 to 10 years old. The Sunday school classes had a worthwhile way of starting each session. The kids and teachers would sit in a circle around a chalice, and the kids would have a chance to tell these three things about their previous week. something they celebrated, you know, something that had made them happy, something they regretted, and something they hoped for. Most kids were comfortable participating in this, and they could pass if they preferred. The kids usually mentioned ups and downs from their school or home, told something about sports, their pets. You get the idea. There was one tall, thin boy in class, a challenging kid, restless and occasionally contrary, who didn't seem interested in being there. His attention often drifted, and sometimes his behaviors were a distraction. Now we get to the specific day I remember. It was a Sunday during the winter of 1990. We formed our circle, and the kids began to tell about their three experiences. The boy I'm thinking of did not seem particularly attentive to what others were saying, but when his turn came, he clicked on, became fully focused, and said in a clear, compassionate voice, "I'm glad Nelson Mandela is free." Without prompting, he went on to explain South African apartheid to his classmates and told them Mandela had been in prison for 27 years. I will remember that child, his parents, and that moment forever. That mental snapshot of him had an impact on me for a few reasons. First, it reinforced what I often experienced as a public school teacher, that kids have good stuff in them. Second, at that time, it served as another confirmation for me that this congregation was the right place for my family. Last, it was a powerful example of what I had started learning during my first few years here. That involvement and service to this congregation enriched my inner life. Yes, sometimes there are frustrations, but there are also times of deep connection, emotional nourishment, and outright inspiration. So, thank you, UUCMC. 60 years, and let's keep them coming.
I'm Jane Reskoff. I would like to recognize and share with you the genesis and continuing activity of the Women's Support Group here at UUCMC. The seed of the formation of this group was planted by Jeannie Perkins when in 2009 she asked Reverend Virginia if we had a group for caretakers. Following that, I was asked as a clinical social worker to start one, and so I did. That group is now morphed into the Women's Support Group and is still going on. The main goals are to cope more effectively and comfortably in life situations and circumstances, and to share experiences and feelings with others as a way of understanding and helping each other. We also have a group covenant, paramount of which is maintaining confidentiality. But the real success and longevity of this group is attributed to the women of it. They vary in age, in life experience, and in constitution. They come twice a month to listen and share their amazing stories, sometimes with trepidation, but mostly with eagerness, because they know that neither judgment nor criticism of a person is tolerated, leaving them the freedom to tear down the walls that most of us hide our inner selves behind. These awesome women give me the strength and fortitude to carry on in my own life with love and faith in the wisdom of my fellow members. This is merely one of the many offerings here at UUCMC, and hopefully It is a tradition that will go on well into the future. Thanks to Jeannie and Reverend Virginia for giving me the opportunity to work with and among these truly wise, caring, strong, and sometimes formidable women. Thank you.
On the occasion of UUCMC's 60th anniversary, moving off tired old assumptions. Thanks, UUCMC. I've been a member here for over 30 years. At some point, about 15 years ago, I decided that instead of sticking with my oh-so-enlightened dismissal of Christianity, I should revisit it and study it as I would for any world religions before I let it go again completely. The very broad-minded Dalai Lama had pointed out that although there are many different world religions, one need not give up what one had been born into. But how would a UU from a Christian tradition do this, knowing all the harmful effects a mainstream version of Christianity has done? Would my brains fall out because I'd be looking into a tradition with some supernatural elements? Would that invalidate the whole thing? Maybe it would be better to just jettison the whole thing, as I'd been doing. But then, spurred by the onrush of my years, the UU adult religious education course, Building Your Own Theology, and an appreciation of the UU principle of a responsible search for truth and meaning, it was off to the stacks for more recent scholarly studies that view early Christianity with Enlightenment values of reason and evidence, enriched by a growing understanding of myth and metaphor. This has helped me move off old assumptions of the polarizing view of theist-atheist and understand the historic Jesus as a radical social reformer with deep roots in the Jewish prophetic tradition, presenting a vision of how the world could be, should be, challenging the numbness of the dominant conventional culture, and showing how getting to a world of justice and compassion, beloved community, is a continuous struggle. This version of Jesus has given hope to many in life or death struggles, such as in the civil rights and farm worker movements. It gives impetus and courage today, for example, in the Third Reconstruction, as inspired by Reverend Barber. For me, it is something to think about when falling into despair, sometimes about the cruelty and injustice in our world today. So, although much of what is called Christianity today has hijacked the idea of the man Jesus as one who would bring open hearts and systemic change to society, I hope we will not lose sight of him in our next 60 years.
There are so many stories in 60 years. I hope you can give me a little more time for a few more that I have gathered as I've learned from you your story. It is a story of a congregation filled with hope for a better world. And it is filled with children and music and love and endless discussions and conflict that naturally grows out of our desire for a better world. Most congregations that started in the 1950s have at their heart a deep desire for religious freedom. UUCMC was born out of this post-war disillusionment with otherworldly religion. Disillusioned by the way traditional religions were complicit in the Holocaust and the ways that liberal values were challenged in the McCarthy era. Our founders had to create something new to match their vision of a just and free world. So they planted their seeds in the ground of the belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person, and every person's right to their own spiritual search. UUCMC was incredibly fortunate to call your first minister, Reverend Harold Dean, within 5 years of that forming. Congregations that stay lay led much longer are inclined to stay small. But Harold stayed for 30 years and carefully tended and grew this congregation with a steady and wise hand. His credo statement is our centering thought today because it may be the best expression of what was at the heart of the beginning of this congregation. But we know that no minister can do this all alone. So if you were here in those earliest decades, the 50s, 60s, 70s, I invite you now to stand or wave your hands so we can say thank you. All right. This shared ministry of a congregation is always a partnership, even as the nature of the partnership might change over the years. In the 60s, we faced the unmasking of Jim Crow laws and the segregation of schools and neighborhoods. You responded by working to create fair housing practices. Harold Dean and Dot Ransom courageously broke through redlining barriers that created segregation right here in Monmouth County. They did that so Dot and Victor Ransom, and a much beloved African-American couple in this congregation, could live in Tinton Falls and become a part of the Bell Labs scientific community. It's true that Bell Labs itself helped to build this congregation in the early years. The multicultural, intentionally inclusive culture that they fostered was a major influence for us. The brains, the skills, and passion of that population helped shape this congregation. And then in the 60s and 70s, there were more cultural and social upheavals from the Vietnam War, women's liberation, LGBTQ rights, and the sexual revolution. Each of these raised big questions and created conflict as our values were sorted through again and again. Created in response to these cultural challenges were women and men's support groups and spirituality groups. A big influence was the RE curriculum centered on feminist theology called Cakes for the Queen of Heaven. The Memorial Association sought to demystify and simplify end-of-life plans, and Quest, a forum for singles, brought new life to the community. There was support for Planned Parenthood and advocacy for a woman's right to choose. In these early years, you also fought about whether women could wear pants to church, and if women could even serve in leadership roles. It's kind of clear that the outcome of that particular argument. One thing I know for sure, that Edna Larson, in the years 1976 to 78, was the first single woman to be allowed to serve as vice president on our board of trustees. Edna. She not only broke that barrier, but she also broke the barrier around buildings and grounds because she was vice president for buildings and grounds, no less. In the 80s, different challenges came to bear. So if you were active in the 80s and 90s, please stand or wave your hand and say thank you. In those years, nuclear disarmament became a social justice initiative, as did creating a chapter of Amnesty International. In 1984, this congregation started the Lincroft Center for Children as an effort to provide affordable daycare for working parents. And in 1986, a fire in the classroom wing upended plans for a new building, but not for long. The congregation had matured and stabilized through these decades. Your excellent religious education program began under the leadership of Nancy Rosbach as our first DRE, when there were nearly as many children as adults in the congregation. Nancy was followed by Libby Schoenwolf, Susan Archer, Corey Hoffman, Michael DeMarsico, Donna Renfro, and Michelle McKenzie Creech. This congregation is known for its excellence and leadership in children and youth ministry. So if you've ever taught or led in the RE program, would you please stand up or wave your hand so we can say thank you. And you probably have noticed, you're not no slouches in music ministry either. He couldn't be here today, but it was Harold Dean, not Howard Dean, Harold Dean, the renowned baritone and visionary for excellence in music. Did I did it the wrong way around? Howard Dean. I'm going to fix this before I take it into the time capsule. Yes. So Howard is the renowned baritone and visionary for excellence in music here at UUCMC who insisted on live music in Sunday services. The music has always been an attractor here. Our music committee's advocacy to create a professional music director position has taken us to another level. We are blessed to have our very first music director, Elaine Held, right here still playing and singing with us. Elaine was followed by Philip Palmer and then Louise Chernosky. Louise has made her mark in music leadership here, bringing out the music in all of us in 10 years with us now. So if you have ever contributed, sung, played in our music program here, please rise or wave your hands to let us say thank you. So the decades continue on. In the 90s and 2000s, the work for social justice continued on a slightly more subdued level after all the turmoil of those earlier decades. There were efforts for peace and justice and undoing racism. But the big story was the transition to new ministry was the most important focus in those early 90s. Harold Dean retired after 30 years of active ministry due to ill health, and Galen Gingrich served as intern and then acting minister before the congregation called its second settled minister, Reverend Kathleen Hepler. 1993 was a big year in this congregation. A new minister and a new building. What a great change for a congregation used to one minister and worship space for so long. After a slightly tumultuous start, Kathleen and the congregation grew together to have over 350 members. John Hoffman shared these stories about that time. He said, in the early 90s, when we were planning to build the new building, a large part of the financing for the project was coming from the sale of a piece of property owned by one of UUCMC's neighbors. The neighbor wanted the property as a buffer for his. Just before construction began, though, the neighbor determined that most of our property in the back was wetlands, and so no one could build on it. He canceled the sale. This was a big blow to the small congregation. After much debate and a number of meetings, we decided to go ahead, somewhat on the if we build it, they will come theory. We did, and they did. We paid off two mortgages early through capital fund drives, too. When we were building the new sanctuary, Betty Wood made a substantial donation to what is now lovingly known as the Earth Window. Betty was a vibrant and opinionated member of the congregation from the 80s to the early 2000s, and she was the first female scientist hired by Bell Labs. 1996 saw a vote to become a welcoming congregation and expanding to two services that year, too. Monmouth Center for World Religions was formed out of the hopes for interfaith dialogue that Harold had articulated before his death. September 11th, 2001, was a watershed moment for most of us wherever we stood that terrible day. But here in Monmouth County, the cost was personal. Our ministry to all changed that day when passenger planes became weapons. The Monmouth Center's response to that terrible moment was to create United We Sing, an annual concert that celebrates interfaith, hope, and healing. This event, along with the ongoing work of the Monmouth Center for World Religions and Ethical Thought, continues to help build interfaith relationships that we now rely on more than ever. It was in the 2000s that we became a green sanctuary.
We installed solar panels and helped organize a wide network of activism through our climate change action team, and voted to approve a statement of conscience on the climate change in 2010. The latest chapter of this story begins with the departure of Kathleen Hepler after 14 years of good ministry and the arrival of Evan Keeley as interim minister. Some of you might remember Evan when he did his interim work of stirring up the congregation very, very well. Evan challenged our theological diversity and the ways we choose to use religious language or not. I've heard that this was rather difficult for all of you, but as the minister who followed him, I am deeply grateful for Evan's unpacking of these assumptions. It has made our relationship stronger as we embrace more fully our diversity and our religious pluralism. It was also during that time when the Sunday morning dialogue came into existence to bring a wide range of views to us every Sunday. Corey Huffman shared a story that I, of course, love very much. She says one of her happiest moments as a member of this congregation was when, as chair of the ministerial search committee, the ministerial search process was long and involved and intense. Joan, Sandy, Skip, Ann, Woody, and Peg and I worked hard and well together from beginning to end. Despite all kinds of issues that came up for us, we cared for one another and supported one another throughout. There were three things that helped them along the way. We agreed to assume good intentions. We agreed to talk privately to the person we might have issues with and to never, ever talk about one member behind another's back. And lastly, we knew that all discussions within the committee were private for our ears only. We remain proud of the good work we did and outcome of our search. So in May 2009, I was called to be your minister as a result of that search, to share this next chapter of growth and witness with you. It was a wonderful day for me too. Some of the things I'm most proud of in these past 8 years include the reorganization of our caring work into neighborhoods, the use of theme-based ministry where we tie all we do together in worship and religious education and covenant circles. We participated in the Threshold Growth Program and learned a lot about how to be more healthy and thriving with doors and hearts open to new members and new experience. We are almost done crafting a congregational covenant that will guide us through the ways we want to be together in the years to come. We survived Superstorm Sandy together, an event like 9/11 that brought this community together with a shared purpose and real ministry in a time of great need. We raised over $20,000 to help the victims of Sandy in our community. And we showed up with shovels and hammers and face masks to do the hard work of cleaning up and rebuilding homes and lives devastated by that storm. We have marched and activated over climate change, marriage equality, LGBTQ rights, women's rights, and racial justice. It was a wonderful celebratory day when marriage equality came to New Jersey and we opened our doors to couples who've been waiting and waiting for the chance to be legally married. In these years, we've supported soup kitchens and food banks and Crop Walk and Family Promise and Fair Housing. We created a social action film series. The work, though, of living our values goes on. Sometimes it's loud and visible, and other times it's quietly doing the right thing, again and again and again. I could not be prouder of our recent racial justice initiative that Joan summarized for us earlier. It seems to me, in these last few years, we found our voices just in time for the greatest challenge of all. For those years when we had the first African-American president of our country for 8 years, we felt the wind at our back for social justice. With the election of Donald Trump, our activism has gone into high gear again. We are a hub for organizing in Monmouth County. The threats to our values are real, and we are responding boldly. We are challenging threats to our democracy and acting to protect it. From the Women's March and organizing local protests for health care, Planned Parenthood, and support of Muslims and refugees and immigrants targeted by hate, We are in the midst of another great moment of social upheaval. The very fabric of our democracy and civil society is at risk, and the need for our values in action, for standing on the side of love, could not be more urgent. We are the resistance now, and I know this will shape this congregation for this next chapter. All the while, though, the children still keep coming and need our love and attention. We all continue to need a place to lay down our burdens and to celebrate the very ordinary moments of our lives. We need a place to sing and to find companionship on the journey. We need a place to be fed, literally thousands of cups of coffee and thousands and thousands and thousands of bagels. If you are serving on community life, I have a feeling many of them are in the kitchen right now. Can we give you a shout out and say thank you for all of that? I want to point out the beautiful, tasteful new bagel chalice that I created for this special occasion. I'm debating whether I should put it in the time capsule. I'll let you tell me whether it's really should be a symbol of who we are. Confucius says, if your plan is for 1 year, plant rice. If your plan is for 10 years, plant trees. If your plan is for 100 years, educate children. UUCMC needs a plan for the 100 years to come, because 60 just went by in a blink. Always, we stand upon the shoulders of giants. We plant the seeds of hope for today, for tomorrow, and for the next 100 years to come. What an honor it is to be among you on this occasion of your 60th anniversary. May this congregation know how blessed it truly is, and may we carry our part in this great story with all the joy and dignity it deserves. Let's take a moment for prayer. Spirit of life and love, we are grateful today. While life is full of joy and sorrow, each is here to teach us something. It is the difficult times that make us, though we would never wish for them. It is the stubborn persistence, unending forgiveness that forges a people in the fire of community. Our prayer today is that this congregation keep on welcoming the stranger. Keep on loving and nurturing the children. Keep on giving youth the space to find their voices. And keep on offering hope and healing to a hurt and broken world. We pray to keep on struggling to love and be loved in the grace of a greater good. It isn't always easy, but we wouldn't have it any other way. Amen.
If here you have found freedom, take it with you into the world. If you have found comfort, go and share it with others. If you have dreamed dreams, help one another that they may come true. If you have known love, give some back to a bruised and hurting world. Let's go in peace, and let's go and have a fabulous party. Amen.